not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in the quietness of this evening, touch our hearts that we may know again the wonder of your love in Jesus Christ. And though there was no room for him in Bethlehem's inn, help us to make room for him in our lives, so we may show his love and receive his peace on this holy night. We ask, Lord, that you fill us with the joy of the shepherds as we realize the magnitude of his most precious gift. Hear us now as we pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tonight we light the final candle, the Christ candle. It is his story we tell. Listen carefully tonight to the story as told in lessons, carols, and anthems. Listen, and you will be carried into an upside-down world where God comes to earth as an infant, a world where the meek inherit the earth and where strength is exercised through forgiveness, not with armies or brute force. Listen, and you will hear tell of the poorest of princes. The one whom God sends to earth on Christmas Day defies all our expectations. And in this season of darkness, God shines a bright, bright light. The Christmas gospel proclaims that a light shined in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Welcome now to the world where the status quo is suspended, and all the talk is about one whom lepers loved. So welcome. Welcome to friend and stranger, to family member and visitor. Welcome to our church on this Christmas Eve. Welcome to this weird and wonderful place where to be lost is to be found, and the last are first, and it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us pray. Loving and gracious Father, we come tonight to worship your Son. May his spirit be born anew in each of us tonight and throughout the year to come. Amen.
Our first lesson for tonight is taken from the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 2 through 7. Christ's birth and kingdom are foretold by Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people rejoicing when dividing the spoil. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth and even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
The second lesson is taken from the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 1 through 9. Isaiah tells of the peaceable kingdom. A shoot shall come out from the line of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt upon his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Our third lesson is taken from the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, verses 26 through 38. The angel salutes the Virgin Mary. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing as I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
Our fourth lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 7. Luke tells of the birth of Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Our fifth lesson is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, verses 8 through 20. The shepherds go to the manger. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
The sixth lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 12. The wise men are led by the star to Jesus. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east. They came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Shall we pray? Eternal God, Heavenly Father, we give to you our thanks this evening for the simple beauty of Christmas, for all of the old familiar melodies and words that remind us of that great miracle when you came to us one night as a baby. Before such a mystery, we come in worship as we follow the shepherds and the wise men to bring to you the gift of our love. We bring to you our gratitude for every token of your love, for all the ways you have heaped blessings upon us. And we do pray, dear Lord, that as we celebrate the birth of your Son, we may do it in a manner that is pleasing to you. May all we say and do, every tribute of our hearts, bring honor to your name, that we, your people, may remember the birth of your Son and feel the presence of your Spirit among us even now. We pray that the loving kindness of Christmas not only creep into our hearts, but there abide, so that not even the return to our earthly cares and responsibilities, not all the festivities of our own devising may cause it to creep away. May the joy and spirit of Christmas stay with us now and forever. We pray this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Accept these gifts and all the life they bring. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight is not a night for a lot of words. The excitement is even too much for most of us adults. But I do want to share with you two little Christmas stories that I hope will help bring meaning to your Christmas celebration. The first is about a woman and her son who were preparing to set off for the late night Christmas Eve worship at their church. The husband, as usual, had decided that he would stay home and sit in his easy chair and enjoy the evening unencumbered by church stuff. As he watched his family leave in the car, he could see that it was starting to snow outside. While reading the newspaper, the man thought he heard some knocking at the window, but then decided that he was hearing things. Then there was more knocking, and it was pecking, actually. He opened the curtains, and he could see that the snow had intensified, and the wind had really picked up and was blowing across their farmyard. Then he could see a bird. No, it was actually a whole flock of birds on the lawn. A few had flown into his window, perhaps to seek the shelter from the storm. It was as if they were disoriented. He could see that they would be in trouble if they didn't find shelter, so he thought that he would try scaring them away so that they would find shelter. He went out on the porch and he caused a tremendous racket, hoping they would fly off to safety, but they wouldn't go. Then the man thought, I have a barn, and that could actually offer them shelter from this terrible storm. So he put on his jacket and he went outside and he pulled the barn doors open wide. And he put on a light hoping to attract the birds. But they just wouldn't come. They huddled on the ground, sometimes flying into the window of the house still. So food, he thought. Food will bring them into the barn. And so he went inside and he took some bread and he went outside and tossed the breadcrumbs in a path that would lead them to the barn. But still the birds would not come. Oh, the man said out loud, I wish that I could become a bird. If only for a short while so that I could show them how much I care for them. And that I mean to offer them life. Just then in the distance, the church bells rang, announcing the birth of a Savior. That's what happens at Christmas. God becomes human to show us, His children, how much that He loves us. He comes offering life to its fullest. Simple meaning from a truly miraculous event. But we must be changed for the story of Christmas to have meaning in our lives. It must change how we live and treat one another. Let me share an eye-opening experience of one woman on a Christmas Eve from years long ago. She tells the story this way. We were the only family with children in the restaurant. It had been a long day of Christmas shopping, and I sat our son Eric in a high chair and noticed everyone was quietly eating and talking. Suddenly Eric squealed with glee and said, "Hi there!" And he pounded his fat little baby hands on the high chair tray. His eyes were wide with excitement and his mouth was bared in that toothless grin. He giggled with merriment. Well, I looked around and I saw the source of his merriment. It was a man sitting behind me with a tattered rag of a coat. He looked kind of dirty and greasy and worn. His toes poked out of his would-be shoes. His shirt was so dirty and his hair seemed uncombed and unwashed. We were too far from him to smell him, but I was sure he smelled. His hands waved and flapped on his loose wrists. "Hi there, baby. Hi, big boy." The man was making all these sounds to Eric. My husband and I exchanged looks. What do we do? Eric continued to laugh and answer, "Hi there, hi there." Everyone in the restaurant noticed. They kind of looked at us and then at the man. The old geezer was creating a nuisance with my beautiful baby. Our meal came and the man continued. Nobody thought the old man was cute. My husband and I were embarrassed. We ate pretty much in silence. All except for Eric, who was running through his repertoire for the admiring Skid Row bum, who in turn reciprocated with his cute comments. We finally got through the meal and headed for the door. My husband went up to pay the check. He told me to meet him in the parking lot. The old man sat poised between me and the door. "Lord, just let me out of here before he speaks to me or Eric." That was my prayer, at least. As I drew closer to the man, I kind of turned my back, trying to sidestep him and avoid any air he might be breathing. As I did, Eric leaned over my arm, reaching out his arms in that baby pick-me-up position. Before I could stop him, Eric had propelled himself from my arms into the man's. Suddenly, a very old, smelly man and a very young baby consummated their love. Eric, in an act of total trust and love and submission, laid his tiny head upon the man's ragged shoulder. The man's eyes closed, and I saw the tears hover beneath his lashes. His aged hands, full of grime and pain and hard labor, gently, oh so gently, cradled my baby's bottom and stroked his back. No two beings have ever loved so deeply for so short a time. I stood awestruck. The old man rocked and cradled Eric in his arms for a moment, and then his eyes opened and set squarely on mine. He said in a firm and commanding voice, "You take care of this baby." Somehow I managed, by will, from a throat that contained a big lump. He pried Eric from his chest, unwillingly, longingly, almost as though he were in pain. I received my baby, and the man said, "God bless you, ma'am. You've given me my Christmas present." I said nothing more than a muttered thanks. And with Eric in my arms, I ran to the car. My husband was wondering why I was crying and why I was holding Eric so tightly, and why I was saying, my God, forgive me." I had just witnessed Christ's love shown to the innocence of a tiny child. A child who saw no sin. A child who made no judgment. A child who saw a soul. And a mother who saw a suit of clothes. I was a Christian who was blind, holding a child who was not. I felt it was God asking, "Are you willing to share your son for a moment when he shared his for all eternity?" The ragged old man unwittingly had reminded me, To enter the kingdom of God, we must become as little children. You see, God didn't put us here for a pat on the back. God created us in His own image so that He could be here Himself. We are here to let God's work and God's love shine through us. Teach that lesson to your children. Live that lesson in your life. Amen. It wouldn't seem like Christmas Eve if we didn't end our service together by singing Silent Night. The story of that famous song begins 197 years ago. In a little Austrian town. Father Joseph Moore and his friend and church organist Franz Gruber knew that the bellows of the church organ had been eaten away by mice and there would be no music for the Christmas Eve services. As they made their way home that night, Father Moore looked up at the snowy peak and the clear sky. And the words came to him, Silent Night, Holy Night. So it must have been on that silent, holy night when Christ was born. Remembering that there would be no organ music, they kept the melody a simple one that could easily be played on a guitar. And there was music that Christmas as Father Moore sang with Franz Gruber accompanying him on the guitar. And the congregation listened in wonder to the first rendition of a song that was to be a gift to all the world. Share with me the light of Christmas now. now in peace. And may the light of Christ burn brightly in your lives year long. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.